Memorial Day.
Remembering the people that have given their lives for us to be free.
News Talk 97.3 The Sky remembers.
...8:07 on the Bob Rose Show, live and local, baby. Time check brought to you by Prestige Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Happy Friday, three-day weekend for many folks. Enjoy, enjoy, and let's not lose sight of what Memorial Day is all about. It's for those, it's to salute those who have given their lives in defense of our nation. Thank you, we salute you, and to the families left behind, we thank you. And we appreciate it. All right, Donald Trump gave a speech, President Trump, on Sunday. And I'm trying to get the sound for it, quite frankly. And it's interesting how the most compelling stuff is the hardest stuff to find. I'm not going to talk about media conspiracy and all that, but it is interesting. I've been doing this a long time, and whenever I hear something, I go, "Oh, I want to get the sound for that." And when I go back to try to get it, it's almost impossible. And they'll chop things up into 15-second sound bites, and they'll have 26 of them in one speech. But they'll leave out the four or five that I was looking for. It happens all the time. Anyway, President Trump Sunday, in a speech that he gave to Muslim leaders during his first foreign trip, called for unity between the U.S. and the Middle Eastern nations to stamp out extremism. That's how we referred to it. All right. During his second day of his first trip abroad, Trump's speech was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And apparently, he was very welcomed there, even though he had said, look, we need to stamp out extremism. And one of the things he talked about was the funding of it. Now, you know, he was talking to the Saudis because, you know, the regime overall, very pro-American, but there's some within the royal family, let's just say that, well, they have their own little pet project, shall we say. Okay. And the people in Saudi Arabia, they have a pretty, serious form of Islam that they follow, Wahhabism. It's, you've heard, like, women can't drive. That may be changing, but it's tough there. So why would he get such a great, response? Well, because they are taking President Trump very seriously in his ability to do something about Iran. And Iran is a big enemy of Saudi Arabia. President Trump said, our goal is a coalition of nations who share the aim of stamping out extremism and providing our children a hopeful future that does honor to God. We're not here to lecture. We're here to tell, not here to tell other people how to live, what to do, who to be, or how to worship, Trump added, noting terrorists must be condemned, not rewarded. Instead, we are here to offer partnership based on shared interests and values to pursue a better future for us all. The council comprises Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. The Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Nayef and U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson signed a memorandum of understanding in Riyadh, and this is not a battle between different faiths, different sects, or different civilizations, the president added, noting that the U.S. is prepared to stand with Middle Eastern nations in pursuit of common security. The president has been enthusiastically embraced in Riyadh, where the ruling royal family of Saudi Arabia has welcomed his aggressive stance on Iran. According to the Associated Press, Trump slammed Iran for spreading destruction and chaos throughout the region. His comments were echoed by the Saudi King Salman, who declared the Iranian regime has been the spearhead of global terrorism. Well, they've all had different roles and different sects and different violence and different things. Hopefully, the president has made an impression. Now, we do know this, that Saudi Arabia is making a huge investment, a roughly $10 billion arms deal.
Yep. And this goes over and above the
shipbuilding and a number of arms things that they've been doing over the last few years.
So this is on top of it.
Yep.
Wow. In fact, they say the arms deal is part of a large $350 billion economic packages between the ally nations. Wow. That is a lot of money. And the president went on to say that was a tremendous day. Tremendous investments in the United States, hundreds of billions of dollars in investments into the United States, and jobs, jobs, jobs. So there you go. I mean, you've got to give President Trump kudos. He's having more difficulty, it seems, dealing with some folks in his own party than he is dealing with some worldwide leaders. Now, who would have thought that? Would have thought that, you know, you would think, oh, everybody's seen the mandate. This guy with no political experience. Well, things are changing in Washington, D.C., because people are sick and tired of it. And it wasn't just Republicans that voted for Donald Trump. He needed more than that to win. He got plenty of people crossing over who were just sick and tired of the way things were done, both on behalf of the Republicans and the Democrats. And I thought. Hey, there's going to be a reformation. The Republicans are going to kind of get this message, and they're going to get off their duffs and actually attempt to maybe do the will of the American people. Well, you know, I was wrong. Instead, they've dug in. They want to kind of hold their territory. Whoa, feller. We like the status quo. We don't mind trading back and forth the power with the Democrats, as long as we maintain some level of power. And President Trump talks about draining the swamp. Yeah, that's a big job, isn't it? As we're seeing. Yeah. But, you know, when he has gone on this tour, gone to Europe, gone to the Middle East, he's told it like it is with the NATO countries. You've got to pay your fair share, folks. He talked to, the nations in the Middle East. Hey, we got to stop this extremism. We got to work together to do it and stop the funding of it. You know, he was talking to everybody there. Mm-hmm. Gutsy, courageous, right on. Now, if he can get the support that he deserves from the Republicans and get some things done here domestically, you've got to get that tax reform thing pushed. You've got to get that health care reform done. You've got to. And it's a mess, too. Look, the health care thing is a mess. And who was it? Senator Ben Sasse was on with Brett Baer a couple days ago, and he talked about it. He said, look, if we're being honest, there were issues with health care, the costs and all that, before Obamacare. So we not just want to repeal Obamacare, but we've got to make it better all the way around and make health care more portable. And that's the way, really, you think about it. That's the way it should be. It never should have been tied to your employer anyway. Look, back in the day when people worked, like my dad, God bless him, he got to work for, you know, the same company, Chrysler, for 30 years. But those kinds of jobs just really, in most cases, don't exist anymore. People are going to go from company to company, sometimes from career to career, much more often now than ever before. So, yeah, the health care that we have, the coverage, it's got to be portable. And those are one of the things that at least the Senate side is supposedly working on, the Republicans. We'll see. All right? We'll continue to follow it. 8:15 on the Bob Rose Show. Nick in for Jay. Skyline's open, 877-975-9825. A parasitic worm, the spit from it, actually has healing powers. Details on that and a whole lot more coming up. Oh, NOAA report. Hurricane season, maybe a little busier than the average. Mm-hmm. We'll cover that as well. You're listening to The Bob Rose Show on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Day 22 on the Bob Rose Show. Happy Friday. Thanks for tuning in. Time check is brought to you by Prestige Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Some of your headlines today. Christians targeted. Coptic Christians in Egypt. 26 dead, 25 wounded. This was what appears to be a terrorist attack. Witnesses are saying the gunmen appeared to have military-style uniforms on. And the Coptic Christians have been targeted in Egypt. This has been an ongoing problem, and it continues to be a threat, clearly. Noah predicts above-normal hurricane season. Listen up, my friends, because what? Next week? Don't we start the hurricane season officially?
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, here you go. Above-normal 2017 hurricane season, predicting 11 to 17 named storms, 5 to 9 of them hurricanes, and 2 to 4 Category 3 or higher hurricanes. So between 2 to 4, 2, 3, 4, Category 3 or higher hurricanes. That's serious stuff. And hopefully their predictions are maybe a little high. And you can have those kinds of storms and you can have those kinds of things, and they don't necessarily have to make landfall either. So, well, let's think positively, but let's also not take preparation lightly. Martinez, thank you for holding. You're on the air, sir.
How are you today, Pat?
Great. What's on your mind?
My mind, I'm calling because some people understand that Germany owes a lot of money. They do not understand the reasons why we are in Germany. And one of the reasons is to remember World War II, in which eventually split Germany between the United States and Russia. It took all the scientists back and forth. While we were flying propane, those people were flying jets. That's the engine we're flying right now.
I apologize, Martinez. If you want to try to call back and maybe get better signal, that sounded awful. What are you doing? What'd you do to screw up the phones over there, Nick?
Dude,
what are you doing when Jay's here? The phones work fine.
Sports Illustrated, man. Those phones don't work.
You're looking at the bikini issue again?
Dig it. Yeah, come on. How many free phones did you get?
Free phones?
Yeah. Come on. You remember.
No.
Yeah, you get the bikini issue in like 1982.
Yeah.
And they give you a free phone, the Sports Illustrated phone.
Oh, no. As a member of the media, they generally have sent me a copy of it.
The Sports Illustrated issue. Yeah.
I have one in my office.
I was a college kid. I needed the phone, too.
Do you want to look at it? You want me to bring it in?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's great.
That's all you need is a distraction like that. You pay attention over there. You stay focused, sir. All right. So above normal, a hurricane season predicted. Be aware of that. Official season starts 1st of June. That's coming up. That's a few days away.
Yep.
So, you know, the water and the batteries is a good place to start and then go from there and come up with a plan. Come up with a plan. And if you're new to the area, make sure you know with the low-lying roads, the areas that flood, if you have special needs, if you have pets, medications, all these things must be considered. Because we're here to prepare you, not scare you.
Thank you very much.
We're here to spit on you. I don't mean me. I mean a parasitic worm. Yeah. This worm is going to heal you and then start spitting at you. That doesn't sound good, does it? Researchers claim a molecule found in the spit of a parasitic worm can bolster the healing process for diabetics, elderly, and even smokers with lingering wounds.
Wow.
A team of scientists from the Australian Institute of Tropical Health and Medicine discovered the molecule. It's called granulin, and it is found in the saliva of a parasitic liver fluke in Southeast Asia. It can supercharge healing. The team came across the molecule and its power while attempting to create a vaccine for a liver cancer that's actually caused by the worm.
Jeez.
So the worm, this is if you undercook fish, people, animals are prone to getting this worm. This worm then gets affects your liver in a way that you develop these cancerous growths. But they found out that within this saliva of this thing, there's something that actually has super healing properties. And they believe that they are going to be able to turn this into a cream that people would be able to use as a topical medication.
Oh, wow.
That will have a real difference in healing.
And if it helps you with libido, those animals will be extinct and the bugs will be gone.
Wait a second. How do we go to healing to libido?
Come on, man.
Wow.
I'm telling you, the marketplace. Look. You got to market it. You got to market it.
Are you talking about the fact that your dad had more testosterone than you?
What do you mean?
And your dad's dad was the Cro-Magnon man, and he had more testosterone than 50 men. Is that what you're talking about? 827 on the Bob Rose Show. Hey, it's Friday. What can I tell you? 877-975-9825. Greg Gianforte, the next professional wrestler? No. Next U.S. Congressman from Montana? Yes. Details on the way. Good morning and welcome, my friends. 837 on the Bob Rose Show. Nick in for Jay. Jay's taking some vacation time. Well deserved. For a lot of us, we're going to have Memorial Day off. I hope you enjoy that and make sure that you remember what Memorial Day is all about, and that is those who served our nation and gave their life for us. Thank you. We salute you. I got this interesting email from Keith that put me onto Keith the insurance guy, put me onto a website, and I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with the website. It's called Net Right Daily. But the story is very compelling. And I'm just going to give you the story. I can't tell you, I can't verify it right now, but it's interesting enough to share with you for sure. In early February, five employees of the House of Representatives were banned from the House IT network. So five employees, these are not politicians, they're employees, they're banned. Why? They're subject of a criminal investigation by Capitol Hill Police. They're accused of stealing equipment and accessing House IT systems without lawmakers' knowledge. The former employees were shared IT employees. Shared means that they worked for several offices. Here's where it gets kind of scary. The five employees worked for over 20 members, to include members from the Intelligence and Foreign Affairs Committees and former Democratic National Committee Chairwoman, U.S. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz from right here in Florida. You may remember Wasserman Schultz had IT issues in the past when she was chairwoman of the DNC, right? The salaries, remember they hacked in and she was basically pulling the rug out from underneath Bernie Sanders was the gist of it. The salaries of the employees should have been the first clue. Look, you're going to work at Capitol Hill. These people do not get paid a lot. Staffers get paid, they can barely get by. $30,000 to $40,000 a year. In Washington, D.C., you're going to live like a pauper, really. But these employees, okay, they were making, or three of them anyway, over $160,000 a year. Three times the average IT staffer's salary, okay? And look, there's a lot of people that have high ranks that work in Capitol Hill. It just doesn't pay a lot. The story gets worse from there. All five employees are related. Three of them are brothers, Jamal, Imran, Ibid, Iwan, Hima Alvi being married to Imran, and Natalia Sova being married to one of the other brothers. Hina was apparently, she fled the country with her children to Pakistan. Her family reportedly has significant assets and VIP protection. It gets weirder. The brothers also had a car dealership, Cars International A. Get it? CIA? They used for supplemental income? The dealership was not doing so well and fell behind in payments to their vendors. One vendor, Rayo Abbas, threatened to sue them, and suddenly he received a paycheck from United States Representative Theodore Deutsch, a Democrat from here in Florida. The payment has yet to be explained. The brothers then took out a $100,000 loan from Dr. Ali Al-Attar. The brothers weren't able to repay that loan, but that doesn't seem to be a problem because Dr. Attar is a fugitive from U.S. authorities, indicted on tax fraud and charges after the IRS and FBI discovered he used multiple bank accounts to hide income. That was all the way back in March 2012. The doctors also believed to have ties to Hezbollah. And he has since fled to Iraq. As the investigation continued, it kept getting worse. Several offices hired new IT staff and found some of the computers were sending data to an offsite server. It's unknown what kind of data that the server or where the server is located, But several IT professionals on the Hill now believe members could be subject to blackmail because of the data theft. The violations were so bad, according to one staff member, there's no question about it. If I was accused of a tenth of what these guys are accused of, they'd take me out in handcuffs that same day. I'd never work again. This is, wow, it is such a convoluted, bizarre story. I honestly don't know what to make of it, but this sounds pretty big to me. This could explain maybe how the DNC was easily hacked into. Wasserman Schultz hacked into, maybe Podesta, possibly, the Secretary of State at the time, Hillary Clinton. And I don't know. Again, I can't speak to the veracity of this website, but, Keith follows this stuff pretty closely. I got to tell you, he does his homework and his research. But you can check it out for yourself. Okay. This is one of those deals where you're going to do your own due diligence. NetRightDaily.com and check that out, because if it turns out that this is a story, is a straight up true story, it's frightening. And let's just suppose for a moment that it's not true. Let's just suppose that, just for a minute. Indulge me. It does beg the question, how do we handle IT issues at that level? Think about it. These people are trusted and entrusted dealing with, all the information that these Congress folks or senators or whoever, that they're privy to. Think about it. If you were going to try to get information from an organization, what a great way to do it in the modern world. But via IT. And those H-1B visas, who do they look for? They look for people with, advanced training, and usually it has to do with computer skills and the like, right? Wow. Look, even if the story's not true, there's causes for concern. If the story is true, it's frightening. It's very frightening. And what kind of screening and stuff takes place for people who work in IT? And look, any organization now has at least one or two IT staffers. And, of course, a big organization like the House and the Senate, well, they have to have dozens upon dozens to cover all that.
Yep.
Wow.
And there are stories that Wasserman Schultz is actually looking to get those computers back for her staffers. This is that whole IT issue.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The story does actually go on from there. Let's see. Finally, the Congresswoman threatened consequences for not returning her equipment.
Right.
And that brings the question of, hey, what is obstruction of justice? And what does she mean by consequences? And the Congresswoman was singing a different tune earlier this month about obstruction. She commented on the Comey firing, saying if President Trump pressured FBI Director Comey to close down an investigation into, say, General Flynn, it would represent an egregious corrosion of the rule of law. Well, does that mean the Congresswoman is representing an egregious corrosion of the rule of law? By using her own words. The latest incident with Wasserman Schultz has created more questions than answers. Why would the Congresswoman risk obstruction of justice to get this computer back? What is she trying to hide? If there was a potential breach of IT security on Capitol Hill, wouldn't the Congresswoman want to get that cleared up? Ow. We'll follow that one for sure, but if you want to check it out for yourself, netrightdaily.com. Thanks again to Keith the Insurance Guy for passing that one along to me. It's 8:46 on the Bob Rose Show. Nick in for Jay. Happy Friday. 3-day weekend for a lot of folks. Enjoy. Coming up, Greg Gianforte. He won in Montana. Details on the way. Good morning and welcome. 8:52 on the Bob Rose Show. Nick in for Jay. Happy Friday weekend. Woo! Come on, baby. Let's not lose sight, though, of what this weekend is about. If it's a three-day weekend for you, especially, well, whether it is or not. Memorial Day is Memorial Day. It's to remember those who gave their lives in defense of our nation. Thank you. We salute you. We appreciate it. And we also appreciate the families that, you know, are left behind for the sacrifice of our protection, you know? All right, it is Friday. It is going to be another day in paradise. A little warmer than yesterday, but it is going to be nice.
Yesterday was only like, you know, low 80s. I mean, mid-80s today.
Imagine.
Humidity down. It was gorgeous this morning. For those of you that weren't up at 4 o'clock this morning, you missed one.
It was chilly. It was nice and cool. Beautiful.
It's
absolutely
great.
Gorgeous.
Love it.
Oh, yeah. Opened up the sunroof. Oh, I let it all come in. Yeah, but then it got a little cold, and I had to put on my heated seats. What? What?
Come on, man.
That's the closest I get to living like a rich man, you know? Yeah.
Snowbirds are, you know, they're driving back up now, and they're going, man, let me get this right now. It was in the upper 50s. That's sweating weather.
Hmm. Or sweater weather. Never get to wear sweaters. You know what the problem with Florida is? When it during the short little cool period that we do have, and I love to break out the jackets and all that, what is it about Floridians that they have to put the heat on like 85? So if you're outside, it's fine. And as soon as you go inside any building, you start sweating. It's like, come on, can't there be some appreciation for the cooler weather? Anyway, if you woke up early this morning, absolutely gorgeous, cool temperatures. We'll take it. It's going to be a nice weekend. It really is. It'll slowly start to warm up as well, but it's... Still, humidity is supposed to remain fairly low anyway.
Yeah, for Sunday maybe you'll start to get the roaster.
Look, let me catch up on some headlines before we get into the 9 o'clock stretch there after the top of the hour. President Trump, he's doing the big tour. He talked to the NATO members and he said, you've got to pay your fair share, you freeloaders. He didn't use that term, but he might as well. He was in your face. I like it. You know, what else? What else was the president up to? He talked about terrorism, meeting with some of the European leaders. They're like, oh, do we really have to talk about this when we could be talking about climate change? Oh, come on, man. Really? Come on. Euro trash. That's why they're called Euro trash.
Nice.
Until I get to go to Europe, then they're fine, fine folks. But I haven't had that trip yet. Maybe someday. When I get the big bonus check from this place. Yeah, it's in the mail, right? Yeah, yeah. Seriously, though, Greg Gianforte, the guy who took down the reporter, he won his election yesterday in Montana, so he will be the sole United States congressman from the Cowboy State.
Well, there you go.
And motorcycle gang... in the news, this was back from the Leesburg thing. Police report came out, and wow. Orlando Sentinel covered that. Just a little quick update on that coming up on the Bob Rose Show, News Talk 97.3, The Sky.